Good afternoon. I am Tracy Truick Pierre. Today is July 1st, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at the Annenberg
Space
for Photography in Century City.
Yeah, in Century City.
California.
Yeah.
All right. So I am interviewing Lance Pierre, and I am his wife.
Okay, yeah.
No, I like that other thing where Uncle Tony says, I am the love of his life, his wife.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Mr. Pierre, so today I'm asking you questions. Mm-hmm. And are there any questions that no one have ever asked you that you would like to answer at this time?
Like what?
I don't know. Is there something you'd like to reveal about yourself that has never been done?
Reveal about myself. I don't know.
Any secrets?
No secrets.
No secrets?
Nah.
Okay then, so let me just throw something out there.
Okay.
Well, you gotta tell who you are.
I'm Lance Pierre, 53 years old. Today's date is the 1st of July. And we are located in Century City. We're at the Annenberg Space for Photography. And I'm with my wife, Tracy Truick, Pierre.
Okay, so what's the hardest thing you've ever done?
I think one of the hardest things I've ever done is actually put my dog down.
And your dog's name? And how old was she?
My doggy, Indigo.
Our dog.
No, that was my doggy. That was my dog. And that was the hardest thing. I mean, the reason why it was the hardest thing, you know, I see my dad pass. I was there when he took his last breath, and that was tough.
Can we get some backstory, Indigo, first? Like,
I saw my grandma pass, and that was tough. But my doggy was something else. And what made it extremely tough, at least for me, is because that was my dog, you know. And they say man's best friend. They really mean man's best friend. She had all the secrets. You asked about secrets. She had every secret. And she didn't reveal none of them.
Will you?
Backstory is, I say 13 years ago, seeing this little puppy coming from South Carolina, from the, what was it called? The, Shenanigans.
Somerville, South Carolina.
Yeah, and the breeder was the Shenanigans. And seeing her, I was like, whoa, okay, I like that little puppy. But it wasn't until I really went out to the airport and picked her up from that cargo container and she crawled out that I was like, oh, shit, I like this puppy. And it was really, you know, I really fell in love with that doggy because she just looked so, she was just different. She had a different type of, a different little spirit.
Really?
To her, yeah. I really, really liked her. I liked her more than Azul. I liked Azul. Azul was my homie.
Who's Azul?
Azul was the first Shar Pei I had. Indigo was a Shar Pei. A full-bred Shar Pei. She came from a background of show dogs. Her daddy was Bosafus. He won all kind of AKC championships and all kind of stuff. So
for Shar Peis.
Yeah, but she was definitely a runt. And for a runt, I was like, she don't look like a runt. She had big paws and. She was just all that.
So she was a runt because she was flawed where she couldn't be a show dog.
Well, she supposedly couldn't be a show dog, but ultimately she was a show dog in her lifespan. She was beautiful, the most beautiful Shar-Pei. I've never seen another Shar-Pei like her to match her beauty, stamina, that gallop she had, you know, and charisma. She had her own little personality and all that good stuff. And yes, it, you know, putting her down was definitely a tough thing. Yeah.
Tough because,
really, I feel like, did I do everything for her? And not only that, it's like, to tell you the truth, how I feel right now, because this is so brand new. We put her down on June 30th, which was yesterday. I feel like I got a little hole in me somewhere. That shit is, it's kind of crazy, you know what I mean? Because, number one, I never really took her for granted, and she was like a doggy that when I got around, I was always calm. You know, so when I went home, I looked forward to going home and
really
being calm and having to take her out or having to deal with her. Or what did she do? She never really did a whole lot. She didn't tear up the house or anything like that. She would always greet me at the door, and you know, it's something that happened for 13 years on a constant basis, and you know, it's like, how do you now not deal with that? You know, so originally, when I got her, taking her around, she was, well, that's when I got my hips replaced. When I first got my hip.
First?
When I got my second hip replacement. And so she was kind of like my keep me company, stay busy, not get in a slump type of companion. And,
you know, so you're saying you were so busy taking care of her.
Or trying to take care of her to where
you couldn't get lost in your recovery.
Yeah, didn't get lost in
the pain.
In pain and all that extra stuff.
Think about what you could not do because you had to walk her.
Right. So I would take the time out to do that. But I had Larry also. So you see, she.
That's when you left.
Right.
You're talking about you.
No, well, I am talking about me. But what I'm saying is this: that's how special she is, because she dealt with different personalities, and she dealt with it good. And you know, it's like, you know, what I thought was a flaw initially, you know, her eating her poop.
Ooh.
And then coming in my face and licking me, and I didn't know what the hell. Why do your breath smell like shit? What's wrong with this dog? And then really catching her because she was always
eating her poop.
But she would do that because she didn't. I feel she didn't want to disappoint you or have you be mad at her.
You think she was eating her poop to cover up pooping in the house?
To cover up...
That would be a no.
To cover up you being mad. That's just my thoughts. Right. I thought she would do it to cover up you being mad at her as a puppy. She never wanted you to be mad at her. And it's the same thing. And the reason why I'm saying that is because...
You exhibited anger?
No, I observed her doing the same thing with Azul when he was older. And he would eat, but he couldn't keep down his food, and he would throw up. She would run, and she would eat his food.
His vomit.
Yeah, well, she would, whatever he regurgitated, she would eat it up real quick so that you don't think that he did anything. Because if you came out and you're like, what the hell, you know, what's going on? You know,
that would be you.
So she would.
That's your interpretation.
Yeah, she would eat it up so that you don't be mad. She didn't like being mad. And even when she got older, she showed it. If me and you was having a heated discussion or whatever, she would come and separate. No, you go your way.
Right,
you
she would
go
get in between us,
way.
And then she would lick me because I didn't like to be licked.
So that is, to me, that is an example of her doing things, even from a as a puppy,
to keep the situation calm.
To keep things calm and not have anybody be angry or anything. So, yeah, that's what that was. And, I thought that was real strange. I'm like, now you got me the dog who eat her shit and then come in my face. And what is this? So I started calling her Doodoo Brown because she was supposed to be black, but she turned out to be brown.
And why did I get you Indigo?
I don't know, because other dog decided he wanted to switch teams.
Yes.
And he no longer wanted to hang out with the homies, which is me.
Right.
And he wanted to go hang out with the girls.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, wow.
It's just my mother, myself, and my daughter, Detrice.
Yeah, so he left me hanging. And then she came into my life and just kind of like was there. Just making things right. And then so, you know, even when she was, you know, when my brother came east, you know, to live with me, and he was kind of like a little non-receptive,
non-social,
you know, he didn't know how to really, he knew how to socialize, but he didn't know how to socialize yet, and he had to get readjusted to things, and she was there to say, hey, jump buddy,
started.
Let's, you know, and she became, at a certain point, because I had to leave and go out of town, so I had to, because I work as an audio engineer, so I got a job up in Seattle for a minute. And when I went up there, he was left in charge with walking her and
feeding her
and playing with her and taking care of her. He did an outstanding job. But at the same time,
he learned a lesson in love, too.
Yeah, because he had to get used to.
He had to take walks and do things he didn't necessarily want to do either.
He didn't necessarily want to do or know how to do.
Yes.
And I think he used her to get his girlfriend, Jackie, because they met at the park or whatever. But, you know, again, there you go. Pretty little brown dog with the curly tail and the wrinkly skin. Connecting people, you know, that's what she did. She connected everybody. I remember taking her over my friend's house, and they would call her Twinkles, because as a puppy.
Why did they call her Twinkles?
As a puppy, as soon as she got excited, she started peeing. So I was like, don't get her excited. As soon as you got her excited, she started peeing.
A little twinkle will come out.
Yeah, she started peeing, so they called her Twinkles. Hey, Twinkles. That was a Daryl and Lynn. Lynn gave her the name Twinkles. But she did. She. I remember having to leave and having them babysit her.
Yes.
And she was a little puppy. And then you came because you went out of town.
I went on vacation too.
You went to, well, I don't know where you went.
South Carolina.
Oh, you went to South Carolina. But when you came back, you gave me a call, going like, "Who's this dog?"
Yeah, she's huge.
Because she went from being
a
wrinkly puppy to being a full-on
teenage doggy
running around barking.
She must have gained at least. She must have gained at least 10 pounds.
The funny thing about her is that she as a medium-sized dog, she was never really afraid of big dogs. She was always afraid. She was just kind of standoffish with little tiny dogs.
Yes.
And I say, being over at Daryl's house with JB and all those big vicious dogs,
who never really looked at her.
These were scary dogs that humans would be like,
that would be me.
Like, oh man, I'm not going in there. They're gonna bite me. But when she was around, they would treat her like a dog. Like they was teaching her how to hold her own.
Or they were being very nurturing of her because they knew she was a puppy.
Or being very nurturing of her because they knew she was a puppy, and she would run out. Woof, woof,
I mean, they were vicious
woof,
dogs.
Woof, barking like them and running behind them, and I'm like, boy. What a dog, you know. She was something else. And I think all the dogs, all the older dogs, was very nurturing of her, especially Azul. Azul took a beating.
Which is our dog.
Yeah, Azul, the first Shar Pei, he took a beating. I remember over at the Hanson Dam,
mm-hmm.
so that she wouldn't get beat up as a puppy.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Or the Rottweiler?
It was a Rottweiler or something like that.
He was going straight for her, and Azul intercepted.
He jumped in the Rottweiler's way. Rottweiler beat him up.
Grabbed him by the face and the ear, and because he was a Shar Pei, caught his
chin
and
skin
ripped
and stuff.
It.
But he stepped in there for her. He always looked out for her. I remember introducing them over at Eaton Canyon, and he would bark at her.
Yes, we took her.
And she would kind of like cower a little bit, mm-hmm. but he would bark at her because she was a real puppy and bark at her.
He was 5 years older.
Yeah, and he kept his thing. He was a lot older than 5 years older than her.
He was five when we got in together.
He must have been 6 or 7, I think. But anyway, he looked out for her, and the very first, she wasn't no joke now. She wasn't no coward, because I remember the very first time, and I think the very last time we took her to a dog park, mm-hmm. and those two little race greyhound dogs tried to attack her, and she was like, she said,
ooh, that's the first time we saw the other face.
Yeah, and she just peeled back, and she was ready to go at it, you know.
Her face changed, and she put her hind body down.
Yeah.
She went to attack mode.
She went to attack mode. I was like, whoa. This is... But she was... Besides that, she was very special. And she kept hers, you know. She did what she had to do. And, you know, as far as... I would say as far as a... I said she was a service dog because... She definitely served a purpose... of serenity. She's a Chinese Shar Pei,
mm-hmm.
and she act Chinese. I don't even know if she spoke Chinese.
Okay.
I'm just being...
It's just a breed.
I know, it's just a breed, but it's like, I could just imagine her, you know, with her, you know, words of wisdom, you know, like, flow like water.
That would be Bruce Lee.
Yeah, like Bruce Lee, you know, like, calm down. Breathe.
So she was definitely your service dog.
Yeah, she definitely kept, you know, I mean... In times when my anxiety would go haywire or whatever it is, I could always grab and go and go for a walk or take her for a hike or something. I took her for lots of hikes. And that was my favorite thing to do with her, is to take her for a hike. You know, and I took her a lot of places. I took her and Azul a lot of places. But I think she got to go. I remember when I started doing the recovery thing where, you know, no smoking, no drinking, or none of that.
Right.
I would do all those hikes. I get up early in the morning,
yes.
4 a.m, and go for a hike, and she was right there. And she would never run. She would never stray. You know, like
she stayed with you.
Never. Yeah, she stayed with me the whole time. She would never just stray away or whatever. And so, you know, I'd take different paths, and she was always there. You know, even when I hiked the the off the trail beaten paths, she was right there the whole time, just going,
really?
And going. Yeah, man, she was really. She's really a tough little doggy.
So what's one of your happiest memories with Indigo?
One of my happiest memories with Indigo. I'll say one of my happiest memories with her is when she would, I'll say the sock thing.
Describe the sock thing.
She always, I mean, you had all the toys in the world, but dirty socks.
All the toys, you mean clean socks.
I mean, dirty socks, clean socks, whatever, socks. She just likes socks. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with her? But she loved to play with her little sockies.
Your socks.
And didn't mind. You could fold them. She'd go grab them and pull them down. You could hide them. She'd pull her. Oh, it just had you laughing.
She could smell a sock?
I think she could smell a sock. She could smell out a sock, yeah. Yeah, she would smell out a sock and go play with him. She was just, yeah, that was one. And, there was a lot, you know, being on the beach with her, you know, having her. Remember we used to go out to Pacific Palisades out there.
Mm-hmm.
And have her just run and be on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
The moments like that, yeah. Where you gave her the full, for a dog, I felt like she's a very special dog again, seeing that she came from the shenanigans and unfortunately what happened with the whole breeding kennel and everything. I said she was very, very fortunate, and she got what I offered, I think what I gave her and in return for her services, mm-hmm. was the very best care that you could give an animal.
Care or love?
Or love or whatever. I mean, she stayed inside. She had her own bed. She had her own couch.
She had her own everything.
She could go.
How much we didn't want her to.
She could go wherever. She was very, how can I put it? She's very dominant in her own way.
Not aggressive, but she was definitely alpha.
She was alpha in her own way. She liked to stay on top of things.
Above,
looking down. She wasn't one of them sleep on the floor dogs until she got older or whatever. But prior to, it wasn't until just a couple of months ago she started sleeping down, if you think about it.
Right.
The whole time she was always sitting up high.
Right.
You know, always sitting up high in her own little, she'd sleep up high. Everything was, you know, I got to get up. I got to be up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she was real. I mean, she, the name Indigo, she wore it well.
She did. And what does Indigo mean?
Africa.
I thought Indigo was a color of blue.
And it means blue, too. But you can look it up. I mean.
I will. You keep going.
You know, Indigo is a part, I think it's, I might be wrong, but it's blue. Of course.
And why blue?
Well, we started the whole blue thing. Every dog that I have is going to be blue. Because a blue fish turned into Azul. Azul.
Okay, tell the story. So the story is, as a thank you gift, the Tree's bus driver gave me a blue fish in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I went out of town.
Mm-hmm.
You put tap water in the fish bowl.
Well, I thought I was doing the right thing and changing the water. The fish ended up floating.
And because it was a blue fish, I named the fish Blue.
Right, so the fish that was Azul. That's what it was, Azul.
So then,
but
I get home.
What ended up happening is everything happens for a reason. Okay. Nothing on God's earth happened by mistake.
So what happened?
So as that went down, I'm like, oh, well, it's just a fish. You just get another fish. But then my friend Phil calls me up, and Phil is like, hey, Lance, because prior to that, I'm at the studio, and I see this little dog. One of the artists, Tyrone, comes through, and he has this little dog with him. I'm like, man, that's a dope dog. Uh-huh. Little beige, sandy-like dog, and he's running around. Tyrone's, hey, come back here. Right. Come back, you know, yelling at him, but he... You know, he had his own little personality. I'm like, that's a dope dog. So anyway, fast forward, I'm sitting there now in the studio, and Phil rings me up, and hey, Lance, remember that dog that was at my studio? You like him? Like, yeah, that's a dope dog. You want him? And I'm like, yeah. What do you mean, do I want him? He's like, yeah, because, you know, Tyrone left him over here, and you know, and he's got all these prickly hairs, and it's irritating me. So, man, before he could
have... Shy skin, they called it.
Yeah, before he hung the phone up, I was at his house. Bam. I'm like, look now.
Indigo is the color between violet and blue.
Right. So before he hung the phone up, I was at his house. And I'm like, Phil, you know you're not... I had a leash in my hand and everything. I'm like, you know, once I take this dog,
where'd you get the leash from?
You're not getting it back. I don't know where I got the leash from. I just got the leash.
Okay.
I can't tell you. I just had a leash for some reason.
Right.
And man, we spoke for a minute. I put the leash around, and they had him outside, and I didn't, you know. So man, first thing I all right, Phil, I'll see you later. Boom. Automatically, his name was Blue. Azul. I named him Azul.
Just blue in Spanish.
I took him to the vet, made sure he was good. I gave him a bath, and he especially this dog was he was another special one. When you bathe him, it's like he turned white.
Because he was clean.
Because he was clean. When he was dirty, he looked
beige.
But when he was clean, he looked white. And so, anyway, I had him, and yeah, I didn't know much about him. He taught me a lot how to take care of indigo, to tell you the truth.
Now I'll help you out. The indigo plant comes from Africa and India.
Yeah, so it's also the name of a plant.
No, indigo is the blue dye, is a plant that the blue dye comes from.
That the blue dye comes from, okay.
Based out of Africa and India.
Africa and India. Okay, thanks for that that fact-finding information. Regarding indigo. I had the Africa part right. I had the blue part right. Okay. I didn't know all the other intricate details.
How did we get to indigo?
How did we get to indigo?
Her name.
I don't know. You pulled it out of a hat or something. I don't know.
I did not. It was
well, one of your homemates or whatever. We wanted to stick with blue.
And a co-worker at work.
Yeah, well, you got to tell that part because...
But I'm not really tell part. I'll just mention a co-worker. I told her we were sticking with blues. And she said, how about indigo?
Yep.
And that was... Her name was Indigo before we even got her.
Before we even got her, her name was Indigo.
And it's going to be Indigo.
And we went with that and...
And the story behind that is because they have blue-black tongues, too.
They do. They have blue-black tongues.
And so that blue went in line with that also.
Their mouth, the inside of their mouth is blue, is dark and blue. And anyway, so, yeah. Any more questions?
Because sure, happiest memory?
I just said it.
Yeah. Are
there
other happiest memory already?
Happiest memory. Also, oh no, another one is when she was young, taking her to the Hanson Dam to play.
That was not a happy memory.
And for me, it was because it just showed how strong she was.
And
it was winter time, and water was rushing, and she was chasing birds, and she dove for a bird and ended up in the water and ended up going down. And
not just the water. There's a way that you know that the water is deep. And the way that you know, because it makes a single sound like bloop, bloop.
Yeah, and she dove
and
in.
There was a bloop, and there was no bubbles. There was nothing. There was no waves. It was just silence
for
15 to 20 seconds.
Less than that. It just seemed like.
It seemed like hours.
It seemed like a long time.
And then
like
out of nowhere.
She just popped back up.
Popped back up and swimming against the tide.
Swimming against the tide and came up on it. It was a beautiful thing. You had to see it.
But that was 10 to 15 seconds.
She shook it off, and she was like, back to galloping. Your heart dropped.
My heart dropped.
But it was, to me, that was a beautiful time. That was a happy time. And, and you know, there's lots of, you know, I mean, the whole 12 years of...
Were happy memories.
I
have a question
with,
for you.
With Indigo.
What are you going to miss most about Indigo?
What I'm going to miss most about Indigo is she knew when you was, she knew when you was down and in a funk.
And what would she do?
She would always just come and just lay her head on you or brush up against you or do something to get your attention to where you got out of, you snapped out of whatever little thing you was in.
You know, and she paid attention to her.
Yeah, now you're paying attention to her and you're good. She definitely knew. She had this sense of sensing when you was in a type of emotional state
or anxiety.
Yeah, where you know where your emotions was taking you somewhere else. She knew. She just had this sixth scent to, or a scent to kind of like, you know, just come and tap
nudge
you,
lick you,
whatever.
Put a hand on your lap.
Was to snap you out of it. So yeah, that's
bring you a toy,
a ball, anything. Yeah, throw this. You know, she'd do that for a minute, and then she'd tell you go get it. You know, you had to go get it. But she was, yeah, that's one of the things that I might just, you know, I wouldn't say might. That's what I'm gonna miss about her.
I was just gonna ask you that question. What are you gonna miss the most?
You just asked me that question. That's the question you just asked me.
I did?
Yeah.
And what are you missing the most?
The fact that she got your attention when you was in a place. Yeah.
And so dealing with her loss, how will you...
How will I...
Be okay?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet because I still have, right now I'm filling this little empty space and I don't know what to fill it with. I don't know how to fill it. I don't know what I'm going to do to fill it, but I just have this little empty space there. It's like, whoa, how do I not wake up and go walk Indigo?
Right.
How do I not wake up and how do I at 4 o'clock not hear her little feet doing that? Doing the little click, 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 click on the wooden floor. Mm-hmm. You know, how do I not look over at in the other room mm-hmm. and see her climbing up onto the futon?
Yeah, that you tried to block her off of.
To just do her thing. How do you or hear her licking?
Yes.
Because you know she likes to lick her paws and just kind of groom herself. How do you, you know, it's like now there's just like this big wall of silence where you expect...
Indigo.
These little intricate sounds
that she created.
She created an ambiance in the place that you know, she was quiet, mm-hmm. but still you could hear her going all the way back to flowing like water. She flowed like water the whole time, you know. It was real peace. She was real peaceful peaceful and warm. That's what I would say.
So if you could have a conversation with her and she understood it as a human being, mm-hmm. what would you say to her?
It'd all be about love, you know, love and peace.
What would you say to her?
That I really like her. I really, really liked her.
So you're talking to Indigo, and you say, I really like you, Indigo?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, Indigo, I love you.
Yeah, well, I would mean it that way, but, you know, I really liked this dog. I really did.
You're talking to her?
Yeah.
Say something to her.
I really like you, Indigo. Yep.
I would tell her thank you.
I would tell her thank you, and she was my best friend. You know, as far as the man's best friend thing mm-hmm. goes.
Absolutely.
You know, she was really and truly more so than a soul.
Okay, so you're saying it's attachment because you can't, she didn't talk to you, but without a doubt, she communicated to
yeah.
us, without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So in all of your conversations and being with her, there were no words exchanged. I mean, sure, you did.
Mm-hmm.
But her response to you would all be physical and emotional, and you're saying that really resonated with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
even to the point to where
mm-hmm.
when she got to the point to where she was off leash, you know, where some people might be like, oh my God, I was never really, I got to the point to where, okay, let her just do whatever she want to do. Okay, you want to go chase a cat, go chase a cat.
Because you trust that.
That she would be okay. And she wouldn't harm the cat.
No.
And it's just something
instinct
in
to chase.
Her. Just that little instinct. And she would, it would perk her up. I think she would feel good. You know, but I wouldn't yell at her about it or anything like that. So, yeah. Yeah.
So in that moment when we knew goodbye was coming, as the needle went in her leg from the veterinarian, because again we had to put her down. We wanted to end her.
Well, I to be honest.
Finish my question.
Okay, well go ahead. You're taking kind of long.
How did you have any regrets? How did you feel?
I had a rush of emotions, and I almost cried. I almost cried because
I cried.
You know, when she got really stiff first, got really stiff, and then everything kind of like slumped down. Yeah, that was the point. I didn't want to see her. I didn't too much dig that. And I wasn't thinking about, did I make the right choice or anything like that. And the reason why I didn't think, did I make the right choice is because of the nights that I spent up
yes.
prior. And then I was like, am I really making the right choice or am I being really selfish?
Yes.
Because I don't know what pain in an animal looks like or feel like, but I just believe that when she started doing the little
sounds,
making those little sounds more as they became more frequent. At first, it was just she would make a sound, and I'd be like, okay, maybe she's wet. I need to move her.
Right.
But then she started doing that like more and more and yes. more and more. And so that.
She's no longer walking.
And that alone just kind of like made me feel like, you know what? She's in pain. And so to try and you know, to put her through that for another 2 weeks or however much longer, that wouldn't be fair. That's like. So I really played everything through, you know, played things in my through in my mind, and I'm like, you know, this is like, for instance, because we know she had cancer. This is like a cancer patient
uh-huh.
being sent home
Because they have nothing else.
For hospice, because there's nothing else that they can do without morphine.
Wow, that's deep, I don't think. I mean, you can only imagine the kind of pain she may have been having.
I can only, I mean, I said without morphine. And the reason why I said without morphine is because they send you home with morphine to dull whatever pain your body is going to go through.
Right.
And here she is, she don't have morphine. She don't have anything to dull whatever pain her body was going through. And sis, to see her just get up and struggle, make the noise and then flop down. And, you know, to me, that's like, whoa, you tripping.
Right.
I can't hold her. I can't feel. There's not that much goat milk in the world or anything else in the world that could really bring comfort to her.
Comfort. So you would say at the end, you made that choice so that she could be comforted.
Yeah. She was 13 years old.
She was 13 years old.
She was 13 years old. So at the end of the day, only thing I could say is she lived a good life.
Great life.
And I would have loved for her to die of old age on her own, just wake up and, oh my gosh, she passed.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. No. That wasn't the case. And it wasn't going to be the case.
No.
So as a, you know, as a guardian and, you know, seeing that she had given me so much of her, so much for all that, for all those years.
So much.
I said, well, it's time to let her go.
Peacefully.
Peacefully, without any more suffering, because that, to me, that's what it was. She was suffering. I had to let her go.
Okay, so in the end, Boy, you have a lot of great memories. But clearly, she was your dog. And why would you say she was your dog before we close out?
Why would I say she was my dog? Because I took her everywhere. She was always with me.
Even when we hiked, she would walk ahead with you.
She always looked for me. If she didn't see me, she would stop, like, where is he? Yeah. You know, like, that's what she would say. When the push came to shove, she would go come back and look for me.
Oh, yeah, she definitely.
So, yeah, she was my dog. She spent more time with me. I said she spent more time with me than anybody else.
Absolutely.
You know, she spent time with Larry. She spent time with you. She knew everybody in her life. Detrice.
My mother.
Yeah, your mom. She knew everybody, but she spent.
You were a person.
Yeah. I was a guy.
You were the guy.
And so, with that being said, I want to, you know, yeah, she was very special. She was a very special and intricate part of, my life.
Your recovery.
And my recovery, yeah. Definitely, you know, when it comes to recovery.
Yep.
You know, and I'll miss her, and I really do love her. I did love her. That was my doggie.
That's your dog.
Yeah,
I'm grateful for her that she could comfort you when you needed to be comforted.
Yep.
She could bring you from your left of anxiety and bring you down to a calm space.
Yeah.
I'm glad she can stop us from bickering.
I don't know if there's any other dog that could take her place, but hey, she did a damn good job.
I think they all have their special places, and they all serve their purpose.
Yeah, and she did the damn thing. And there's, you know, if all good dogs go to heaven, she definitely in heaven. She was a good dog.
Okay, so we're gonna wrap this up, Lance. It was great talking to you about Indigo, your 12-year-old. 13-year-old Shar-Pei.
Yeah.
And I can only...
Chinese Shar-Pei. She spoke Chinese.
She understood Chinese.
Yeah, she understood it all. She understood Chinese. She flowed like water.
She flowed like water.
Yeah.
Her big paws.
Yeah. Yep, with her big paws.
Here we go. We love you and we're grateful.
That's right.
You're important.